just for women. Listen to Mrs. Waite speak from her heart to your need. Pause a moment and care. Just for Women is an unusual broadcast for women in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. Yvonne Waite deals biblically with the many issues facing women today. The Bible tells the older women to speak the things which become sound doctrine, and teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the Word of God be not blasphemed. Listen now to Mrs. Waite speaking just for women.
Hi, girls. We're continuing reading my speech that I gave a few months ago called A Secret to a Happy Home. And it's not cleaning, it's not changing diapers, it's not washing windows or cooking. It's to do with your marriage. Several years ago, I knew a woman who was married for 13 years to one man. She was faithful to him. She kept a nice, clean house. They went to church together. They carried on like normal people, married people. They had friends, they had family. All the while, they harbored a secret. It was a terrible secret as far as I'm concerned. What was it? Their marriage had never been consummated. 13 years and no one flesh relationship. No one to have and to hold experience. Can you imagine? Come to find out, the man was incapable of doing his sexual duty toward his wife. How could such a thing be? How could it be? Finally, she told someone. She went to a lawyer, I suppose, to get an annulment. The judge did not know what to make of it. Would you? So he sent her to a doctor for a physical examination. It was discovered she was a virgin. Can you fathom that? Over a dozen years of marriage and a virgin. Was she married to that man, or was she just his housekeeper and companion? Needless to say, she received an annulment and later was married to a real man. I know a woman my age who had a long marriage to a fine husband, and they had a good sons and daughters, and she told me that years before she was married to a man who wanted nothing to do with her sexually. She divorced him. She said, I wanted to have children. He was a homosexual. Was that a marriage? In the old-fashioned wedding vows, the bride and groom promise each other to keep thee only unto thyself from this day forward until death do us part. My husband tells me that this phrase, to keep thee only to thyself, implies the following, that neither the bride nor the groom will be sexually unfaithful to each other in any adulterous relationships with someone else, but will maintain a sexual union only with each other. And for either of these men, whom I told you about, not to fulfill their wedding vows was a sin. What if Adam had to refuse sexual union with Eve? What if she had disregarded the one flesh union that God had ordained from creation? Was it a marriage or not a marriage? Now, there are two solutions for a happy home. Don't argue every point. Don't defraud your husband sexually. Two scripture verses are to help you. Romans 6:11, likewise reckon ye yourselves also to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Perhaps your husband is really unreasonable, as husbands have a tendency to be at times. Perhaps he really is not being a good Christian in his disagreement. Perhaps he is even sinning by his attitude as he wrangles with you. That's wrong, but husbands are not perfect. It is then that you, his wife, gets all riled up. You start correcting him. Your voice begins to get louder. That old shrew sound overtakes you. You're beginning to sound like a whiny fishwife. So in your rebuttal, attempting to make your point clear, you are sinning. It doesn't take much for sin to get foothold in a marriage argument. Instead of arguing the point to him, instead of trying to win your side, instead of taking the shrew path, just be dead to the whole thing. This isn't necessarily shutting down. It is being dead to the sin that is being stirred up within you. You are reckoning yourself dead to the complaints of your husband. Many marital fights could be stopped by this procedure. It is hard. I don't mean to say I always do it, but Romans 6:11 does work. Now, this does not mean that you are a dish rag. It just means that you will pick the battles that you must fight and let the small stuff go. You will be dead indeed unto sin. Now, the second point as to defrauding. Look at 1 Corinthians 7:3. Look at 1 Corinthians 7:3. Pick the battles you must fight and let the small stuff go. You will be dead to sin. Let the husband, in 1 Corinthians 7:3, render unto his wife due benevolence, and likewise all the wife unto the husband. The meaning of due benevolence. If you haven't guessed it already, due benevolence means the act of marriage. This is the duty of every husband to his wife and every wife to her husband. This is marriage. All the promises before a preacher or a judge means nothing if there is no fulfillment of the conjugal duty. It is this fulfillment that is the glue of marriage. Remember when God said in Genesis 2:25 that both man and woman were naked and were not ashamed? This was declared by God immediately after he explained that God made woman out of the rib of Adam. That was why Adam looked at Eve, whom he did not name until after the fall, and said to her, "Bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh." Nothing could be closer. I've known some women who've told me that their husbands and they have not come together in years, sometimes 5 years or more. Others defraud one another 1 year, for months, for weeks, for many days. That is wrong. It is sin. It is sin. How do I know this? Just look in 1 Corinthians chapter 7 for yourself. Defraud ye not one the other, except it be with consent for a time, that ye may give yourself to fasting and prayer and come together again, that Satan tempt you not for your incontinency. 1 Corinthians 7:5. The leaving and cleaving principle. Because of this closeness, flesh of my flesh, bone of my bone, God instructed in Genesis 2:24 that man should leave his mother and father and cleave unto his wife. I call this the leaving and cleaving principle. This cleaving or gluing brought about God's declaration, they shall be one flesh. This one flesh is the due benevolence that the Apostle Paul wrote about in 1 Corinthians 7. One flesh is sexual intercourse, the purpose of marriage. The marriage bed does not put the woman's rib back into the husband per se, but it does put the man into the woman. This is a wonderful, exciting gift of God. Not only for procreation, to be fruitful and multiply, that we found in Genesis 1:28, but for marriage enjoyment. It is the gluing of the two into one. When we think about conception, which comes from such gluing, it is a miracle of God's pro-life provision. The gift of marriage was and is to replenish the earth. This gift began giving from day one with the first couple in the Garden of Eden. The gift has proceeded to your marriage and mine right here where we live today. Paul explains Genesis. So, when Paul exhorts in Genesis, in 1 Corinthians 7:4, that the wife has power over her husband, and the husband has power over his wife, he is explaining exactly what God taught the first couple during those first wonderful innocent years in the Garden of Eden so long ago. The wife hath not power of her own body, but the husband, and likewise also the husband, hath not power over his body, his own body, but the wife. Defrauding is sin. In verse 5, we see a command. It is a command to stop defrauding one another from the blessed privilege of the one flesh experience in marriage. Defraud means to take away or to hold back. Something such as rights. This command has no age limit, no matter how young or how old the marriage is and the spouses are. Too many couples today are defrauding, and it is sin. And agreed to time out. According to the Bible, the only time out from such sweet marriage closeness is the agreement between the couple that one or both of you give yourself over to God for devotional reasons, such as fasting and prayer. How long would you go without eating? How many days do you usually spend in prayer? In other words, abstinence. Abstinence is by consent only, and that only for spiritual edification for a short time. Defraud ye not, except it be consent, that Satan tempt you not. 1 Corinthians 7:5. This is so important. I think that I should read some of this over again. The purpose of marriage. What one should I need? Due benevolence. I think I want to read that to you. If you haven't guessed, see, it says, let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence, and likewise also the wife unto the husband. That's 1 Corinthians 7:3. Well, due benevolence means the act of marriage. This is the duty of every husband to his wife and every wife to her husband. This is marriage. All the promises before a preacher or judge mean nothing. There is no fulfillment in conjugal duty. I know I'm reading this twice, but this is so important. I want you to hear it in case you were off in the other room when I was reading it. It is this fulfillment that is the glue of marriage. Remember when God said in Genesis 2:25 that both man and woman were naked and not ashamed? That was declared by God immediately after he explained that God made woman out of the rib of Adam. That was why Adam looked at Eve, whom he did not name after the fall, till after the fall, and said, "Bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh." Nothing could be closer. Defraud ye not one the other, except it be with consent for the time, that ye may give yourself to fasting and prayer and come together again, that Satan tempt you not. The leaving and cleaving principle is very important. It's flesh of my flesh and bone of my bone. That's what it is. The leaving and cleaving principle is cleaving or gluing both about God's declaration. It brought about God's declaration, that one flesh. One flesh is the due benevolence that the Apostle Paul wrote about in 1 Corinthians 7. One flesh is sexual intercourse. Now, I know I read this before, but you have to hear this again. Marriage bed does not put the woman's rib back into the husband, per se, but it means the man into the woman. This is a wonderful, exciting gift of God. Did you know that being with your husband in a special way is a gift of God? The wife hath not power of her own body, but the husband, and likewise also the husband doth not have power of his own. Defrauding is sin. In verse 5, we see a command. It is a command to stop defrauding one another from the blessed privilege of the one flesh experience. Defraud means to take away or hold back something such as rights. This command has no age limit, no matter how young or how old the marriage is and the spouses are. Too many couples today are defrauding, and it is sin. And agreed to time out. According to the Bible, the only time out from such sweet marriage closeness is the agreement between the couple that one or both of you give yourself over to God for devotional reasons, such as fasting and prayer. How long, girl, do you go without eating? How long, husband, do you go without eating? How many days do you usually spend in prayer? In other words, abstinence is by consent only, and that only for spiritual edification for a short time. Defraud ye not, except it be with consent, that Satan tempt you not. 1 Corinthians 7, 5. A warm marriage bed makes a happy marriage. I wish I had more time and space to explain the rest of this chapter to you, but read it at home and practice it. This chapter is the secret to the needs of a woman's home, that's 1 Corinthians 7, as well as a man's. When there is no defrauding, marriage can be happy. I walked a mile with pleasure. She chatted all the way and left me none the wiser for all she had to say. I walked a mile with sorrow, and not a word said she, but all the things I learned from her when sorrow walked with me. The secret of a happy home. That's what my title of this whole speech was that I've been giving to you. There are many problems in a marriage that affects the home, financial, physical, and emotional. But if forgiveness, according to Ephesians 4:32, is practiced, and the undefiled marriage bed is kept warm, Hebrews 13:4, the couple will last until death parts them. They will have a happy home. Try it. You might like it. I'm under God's care. Are you?
You have been listening to Just for Women with Yvonne Waite, sponsored by the Bible for Today Baptist Church in Collingswood, New Jersey. We invite you to visit our church Sundays at 10 a.m. and Thursdays at 8 p.m. If you need more information about our church, our broadcast, or our Savior, please call us toll-free 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Email bft@bibleforttoday.org. The organist and pianist is Mr. Dick Carroll. Your announcer has been Dr. D.A. Waite, pastor of the Bible for Today Baptist Church. We invite all you ladies to join us next week, same time, same station, to hear Yvonne Waite and Just for Women.